WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Last week, the FBI asked the public to study the recovered anthrax-laced letters for clues. Linguists have been doing just that since the letters were released. But as our own linguist, Jeff Nunberg, reports, nobody knows what to make of them.
So who sent the letters? Did they come from a member of an Arab terrorist network? Or are they more likely the work of homegrown neo-Nazis or extremists, as stories in the Washington Post and the British Observer reported a couple of days ago? According to some linguists, the clumsy lettering could indicate that the writer grew up using another writing system. I was personally struck by the way the numeral 2 in a couple of the addresses is written like a backwards S. Aha, I thought, that suggests an Arabic or Urdu-speaking writer. Though we call our numerals Arabic, large parts of the Arab world in the Middle East use numerals that are shaped very differently from ours. Their 2 looks like a backwards 7. And other people have suggested that a non-native speaker would also be given to awkward phrases like, "This is next," and "You die now." But then maybe these details were all designed to throw off investigators, a ruse that Ted Kaczynski delighted in when he was sending out his Unabomber messages. And the language isn't actually that alien. That sentence, "You die now," might be adapted from a slightly more colorful utterance that Al Pacino produces as he shoots a hitman in a famous scene from Oliver Stone's 1983 film Scarface. As it happens, that's a cult film in hip-hop circles, a point that could lead the investigation down a very different path. And no one who's ever taught freshman English will be persuaded by the suggestion that there's something notably foreign about the misspelling of penicillin. Then there's the way the date was written, as 09-11-01. In the rest of the world, the day usually precedes the month. I once missed a meeting in France when I foolishly misread the date on the announcement as September 8th rather than August 9th. That suggests that the writer is either an American or somebody who's lived here for a long time. But why 0911 rather than just 911, which is how most Americans would write it? One computer scientist I know pointed out that he always writes dates that way when he's programming so that the sorter will put them in chronological order. He was convinced that the writer must be a programmer, probably one who programs in the Perl computer language. It's an ingenious theory, but the sender could have picked up the habit of writing dates as 09 somewhere else. Maybe he once worked for a credit card company. Meanwhile, the handwriting analysts were busy cooking up theories about the writer's personality. That's no less than you'd expect from a specialty that claims to be able to spot potential embezzlers from the way they cross their T's. A Russian psycholinguist said on an internet discussion list that the writing showed that the sender was a 20 to 25-year-old with a submissive personality and a reclusive lifestyle. A story in the San Francisco Chronicle quoted the director of a handwriting analysis school who said that the downhill slope of the lettering on the envelopes was a sign that the sender was bipolar. He predicted that the letters are likely to reappear during manic episodes and subside in depressive periods. And another handwriting analyst said that the heavy strokes on some of the T's and A's were indications that the sender was self-critical. "This writer is an angry malcontent," she said. As the Chronicle's Nanette Asimov observed, that may be the only conclusion on which there is broad agreement. In a curious way, deducing the origin of the letters is like deducing the origin of the substance they contain. We can know from the writing that all the letters come from the same hand, the same way we can know from the DNA signature that all the anthrax is from the same strain. But things get complicated when we try to reconstruct where they must have come from. There are too many paths, all plausible and all contradictory. It all has the feel of the elaborate deductive puzzles of the classic detective story, complete with red herrings and the sudden twist when the second murder takes place. That isn't surprising, since the modern detective story was a creature of the age of science. We want to believe that no information is ever truly lost. Everything bears the traces of its history. A scratch on a keyhole, the electrostatic charge on some powder, an oddly shaped numeral, the detective who knows how to read them properly can tell exactly how they came about. But that's a genre that usually works better in print than it does in movies, where the crime scene is always cluttered with extraneous noise and objects, and the author can't winnow it down to its significant details. It's only after the fact that the literary lines of the narrative will emerge. Acting on a tip from an informant, the FBI will arrest a 23-year-old Egyptian who's been working at a pharmaceutical company in New Jersey. Or a neo-Nazi programmer from Fresno, a bipolar hip-hop fan who failed freshman English and got an anthrax shot when he was in the Rangers. One way or the other, we'll feel that we should have known it all along.
Jeffrey Nunberg is the author of the new book, The Way We Talk Now.